Today is Sunday, February 1st, 2015, and this...
Las Vegas, the city that made the Eiffel Tower its bitch.
City of overindulgence, the city of excess. One time, really seedy gangsters, but now it's turned itself around and it's more into great restaurants, shows, clubs.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 489.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, kiddies. This is Podcasting's Tim, one half of the hosts.
And this is Michelle, the other half of the hosts.
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
That's good.
We had a little pre-show discussion.
We did. I'm curious to see if you truly got it all out of your system. I think I did. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Anyone listening at work or around people who don't fucking like fucking swearing?
Might want to put on some headphones.
Yeah.
Not suitable for...
I'm just feeling sweary today. Oh, I'm going to throw that out there.
That's fun.
I might not live up to
people enjoy when
the swear gauntlet
mood.
Being thrown down, but...
Was there a swear gauntlet thrown down? Was there some sort of cursing challenge foisted upon you?
I'm challenging myself.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to have goals.
Yeah. I'm just throwing out a warning.
New year, new goals. Come
new
up with
year,
a new...
New year,
new
you.
Oh. A new curse every month. Curse of the Month Club. Hey, that'd be a subscription service we could start up.
What was it I said to...
That's my entrepreneurial spirit. It'd be like those 900 lines that they had in the 80s.
Yeah.
You could call and you could call our voicemail, a voicemail line that we set up, and we'd have a new curse every month.
Well,
and
it
cost you $14 every time you
nice.
Called.
Ooh. I could do that. Not Dustin from Not Holland was needing a new curse, so I came up with Scrotum Gobbler.
That's a good. I saw that and I like it. I would shorten it slightly to
Scrot Gobbler.
Scrot Gobbler. Just a little more.
A little smoother. Trips off the tongue a little better.
A little tighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we've got some Vegas stuff. We've got a lot of Vegas stuff to talk about this week.
Bigger, my other favorite thing.
Yes.
That I also shared with him on Twitter.
These are a few of her favorite things.
My favorite thing this week is. I'm just going to use guy, but it can be woman or whatever, whoever you're pissed at. Fuck that guy in the ear with a shovel.
How did you land on a shovel?
I don't know.
You could use any number of implements.
I thought about several gardening implements, mm-hmm. and shovel felt best.
All
it
right.
felt right.
Okay. This is I'm enjoying this insight into your cursing.
Into my mental process.
Your creative cursing. It really is your art, your craft.
Do you want to know the real reason?
Go nuts. Why not? We're here. We're friends.
I was going to use rake, but that sounds a little too close to another word.
Oh,
and
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Shovel. I like shovel.
It's good that good to have a process.
Yeah.
You workshopped shovel and it seemed to work out okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right. Well, should we talk about Vegas stuff?
No, let's workshop more swearing.
Since that's where we're, throughout the show, perhaps you could drop in some new selections if you feel up to it. All right. First item I wanted to talk about this week is a new residency, which, again, there's still debate whether or not a short-term thing is residency. I'm going to call this a residency. It's several shows in a short amount of time. 9 shows for Ms. Diana Ross at the Venetian. I think they're actually saying Palazzo, but, you know, they share theaters, so all the same thing. This one surprised me a little bit in that I would have expected Diana Ross to land at the Coliseum at Caesars.
Yeah.
Simply, well, she actually played there in September. She did a one-off, but apparently the same organization, AEG, books both of the venues, so I don't know how they decide on one versus the other, but...
How is the environment in the Venetian, the Venelazzo showroom? Because isn't the Colosseum supposed to be...
Very intimate?
Very intimate, and also doesn't it cater to the performers, and it has a certain temperature and a certain humidity level to protect the vocal cords and such?
I doubt that Venetian has gone through those efforts, but I think it's still a fairly decent space to see a live performer. So they have multiple showrooms, and I'm not exactly sure which one they're using for this. But
bring your own humidifier.
I think Diana Ross is a good fit for a little Vegas. Vegas residency. I did pull some clips of Ms. Ross, if you're interested.
You?
Yes. Going back to her days in the Supremes, of course. Obviously, I didn't do a very good job pulling the clips. Oh, there we go.
Phil Collins stole this song from the Supremes, and we're stealing it back.
Oh, I forgot about that piece of shit. Diana Ross has hit after hit after hit. Up until the 80s, and then she kind of quit having hits, but...
Love that song. The original. Just the original.
Mm-hmm. I completely forgot that Phil Collins massacred that. As he'll do with a song from time to time. More Supremes action. Most of the Supremes songs have the word love in the...
Or baby.
Or baby, or both, in this case. Oh, I should have looked this up. I don't know how old Diana Ross is. I think she's pushing 108 now, but she still has some
pipes. Looking good.
Yeah. So anyway, she's going to be doing 9 shows.
Is she still looking good? Have I seen?
Yeah, I think she looks pretty decent, considering she's...
I have a mental picture of her, but I'm not sure if that matches up with actual picture. Mm-hmm.
And I think she's still got the pipes. Yeah. I think she still can sing. So it sounds like Venetian is going to be doing a series of these. It's rumored that... Robin Leach, who's never wrong. By the way.
So what has a 50% chance of happening, you were going to say?
I'll get back to the clips in a second. A little mini rant here.
All right.
Whenever Las Vegas Advisor repeats news that Robin Leach has reported, which news in quotes, they refer to him as Robin Leach, who's rarely wrong about these things and things like that. And they're not being sarcastic.
What?
Yeah. So there you go. That tells you something about the credibility of Las Vegas Advisor these days. What else do we have for Diana Ross? Solo hits.
How do you feel about their coupon book, though?
Yeah, it's fine. If you're into couponing, it's a good deal. Is it wrong that this song has forever been ruined by Notorious B.I.G.? So I'm expecting Mace to pop in here with some rapping?
Uh-huh. No, that's cheap. What is Mace? Mace isn't...
Mace is the dumb guy who... Tell me who's hot, who's hot, who's not.
That's right, because I just immediately went into the Jay-Z.
Yeah, no.
And I knew that wasn't right the minute I said it.
Mace is from the Puff Daddy crew.
Yes.
Anyway. Robin Leach is suggesting there are going to be a series
who's hot,
of
who's
these
not. That's right.
At Venetian Palazzo, including Ricky Martin, Lionel Richie, and Janet Jackson. That those will be announced shortly. Time will tell. I called for a Lionel Richie residency 10 years ago, and it's finally happening. I'm not on board with Lionel
anymore.
You're
not as excited about Lionel.
No, we've discussed that enough times, but what else do we have from Diana?
Do you have Upside Down? Well,
I don't. I have this. She does a lot of the spoken stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to dance to this one?
I'm doing a little dance in my seat right now.
Act it out.
Do the Dennis Miller you want to.
Ain't no fucking dance floor wide enough. yes. And of course, huge hit. We gonna do this?
No.
My love.
No, we're not.
There's only you in my life. The only thing that's right. Okay, this part's yours.
No.
No.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, I'm a little sad by this because you did a spontaneous duet with Chuck at VIMF. tough shit, she says.
The vocals aren't feeling it today.
All right. So anyway, Diana Ross, April 1st through the 18th.
Can I do the spoken part? I want to share all my love with you.
With you. I tried. I tried for a touching duet.
You did try. I feel I feel that the minute I sing, it's going to sound your all creepy.
Rise, your eyes. Okay. Nobody wants to hear this. April 1st through the 18th, 9 shows, Venetian. Tickets are $67 to $210 through Ticketmaster. Tons of seats still left, even though they're already on sale. I was looking at the Choose Your Seat feature, and it looks like you can get seats still as of yesterday in the second row still. So plenty of seats available. And that's it. I don't know. I don't necessarily have an interest in seeing Diana Ross, but I think this is a good fit.
But I approve of this. Yes, yeah.
I do approve. Of those that I mentioned.
Because, you know, Vegas is waiting for our approval before.
They are. It's worship. Yes. Ricky Martin, Lionel Richie, Janet Jackson, Diana Ross. Of those four, which would you be most interested in seeing? This is a tough call.
I kind of want to see Janet.
In theory, Janet.
What?
As I mentioned.
In theory, yeah.
As I mean, mentioned during a little exchange on Twitter the other day, Janet Jackson is, she pioneered lip syncing entire concerts long before Britney Spears.
Yes.
So prepare for that. And we'll see if she ends up there. We'll see if there's the.
She kept up with the dance moves.
Right. We'll see if there's the outrageous, the outrage, the outrageous. That's the Lionel Richie show.
Will there be outrageous?
No, for Janet Jackson, we'll see if there's the ridiculous amount of pseudo outrage over her lip syncing. I'm mm-hmm. guessing not. That hostility is reserved for Britney for some reason.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. Good move. I like this. And we'll see what else Venetian and Palazzo do as far as residencies. I'm liking this trend.
Yeah.
It's sweeping Las Vegas. Hard Rock's in on it. Venetian and Palazzo are in on it. Every once in a while, we'll see somebody spring up at Planet Hollywood or somewhere like that for a short run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not considering the Weird Al run a residency. I think he's doing 5 shows or something.
Where?
Planet Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yeah. People are into that. I don't know. Seeing Weird Al live.
I would go see Weird Al live. I mean,
waka. It's just like too fucking. I respect what he does, but I think I've said
what
it before.
What he does is really intricate and intelligent because the last album, it's just so on.
And yet, even so,
yet,
I'm good for listening to a song parody once. And that's it. It's like, I'm not going to put this on a playlist and listen to it over and over again.
Same.
He's got a ton of fans. It's kind of a thing to be into Weird Al right now, too. He's having quite a resurgence.
Yeah.
So, anyway, good for him. I don't know when that is. I think it's in May or something.
He's been around forever, too.
I know.
Yeah.
Next on our little list of things to discuss,
mm-hmm.
which comes as a shock for anyone who thinks that we do this off the cuff without any notes. Planet Hollywood announced this week that it's installing something into one of its pools called the Flow Rider Wave in a Box Double. And it's going to turn one of their relatively sad swimming pools into a wave pool. It's coming this spring.
So many things. So many things are in my head right now.
You have thoughts?
Well,
do share.
Will it be accompanied by music from Flow Rida, first of all?
Huh?
Wave in a Box.
I thought Dick in a Box too.
Jack in a Box, and I thought, oh. Because it was followed by Double, and, well.
So it would be Double. Sponsored by Jack.
I don't know.
So what?
And then I was thinking, you've got Faux Wave Pool, which looks like pho, which is the soup, and that would just be weird to be swimming around in noodles and broth. And
it's pee-ho.
I know, but the way you have it here looks like.
Okay. Well, our listeners can't see our notes. So
I know.
The humor
so I was already on the food thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what?
And I have more thoughts.
Okay, please share some.
So how are they going to turn this concrete rectangle into a wave pool? I'm
with the Flow Rider wave in a box double.
Issues. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like Mandalay Bay where it's a beach.
Right.
Where it's a large expansive area.
Yes.
And they have sand. So I'm not exactly sure. It would seem like it would be ripe for maybe people cracking their heads open on the edge of the pool, but I don't know.
Also, flow boards, which you're about to read the quote from, just sounds like a giant maxi pad.
Yeah, apparently this is. Yeah, you can use boards to do so I don't know about this. Okay, so here's
I should have read this and refined my references a little more because my mind is all over the place right now.
Here's the PR spin on it. In no time, riders go from bodyboards to standing up on flow boards to doing kickflips, aerials, and other tricks. With Flow Rider's waveform technology, riders should have no fear of wiping out as the surface is designed to absorb the energy of impacts. You mean water? they designed the water to do that. Okay.
Good. Okay.
Nice job with your water design, Flow Rider. I don't know. We'll see if how this works. I kind of hope that it's it would be entertaining if it was like when they first fired up the wave pool at Mandalay Bay and it kept wiping out all the
people. Yeah.
No, I think it was before when they were testing it, wasn't it? When they first opened. They had some adjusting to do because they would fire the thing up and it would wipe out the entire beach, like all the furniture and shit would go. So we'll see if they get the Flow Rider right. It's going to be opening sometime this spring. It won't be ready right when the pool opens in March, but shortly after, apparently. And they have two pools there, so this will be one. I don't know if they'll have this thing on all the time
or I'm how curious this will work. To see how this works.
It's not that huge of a pool.
It's not.
They're both the same size and they don't look that big.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be fun to watch for the people who have room views of the pool area.
Yeah.
You can watch people wipe out and stuff. I don't know. If anybody has any, I don't really care what you think, but it'll be interesting to see. I was going to call for predictions and that would just be
That's been a recurring theme this week.
no, I'm just wondering how long it will be if this thing is a success or if like 3 months from now they've removed the Flow Rider.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But that's the big news of Planet Hollywood. I want to talk about a restaurant across the street from Planet Hollywood, sort of, called Aria. Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
It's a lovely, lovely place. That's not the restaurant. That's the casino the restaurant is in. Mm-hmm. There used to be a restaurant there called Michael Mina's American Fish that we discussed several times on this show. And one of the things that we loved about it and that a lot of our listeners loved about it is they had a tremendous happy hour. Really, really, really solid cheap food specials.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it closed not too long ago to be replaced by a new Michael Mina restaurant. And I'm pleased to report that the new restaurant, which is called Bardot Brasserie, it's more of a French theme to this new restaurant, has returned a similar happy hour to Aria, 5 to 7 p.m. every day of the week.
Yay.
Great, great food specials. I'm very anxious to try this. I was looking at the menu online and it was making me hungry. Mm-hmm. Always a good sign. So, oysters, $2 each. I'm not an oyster guy. People are into oysters. And I would imagine at a place, a Michael Mina place, there are probably some good quality oysters.
Yep. I would hope so.
You can get some fries for $4. You can get macaroni and cheese for $4. Bone marrow for $5. I don't know that I've ever had bone marrow.
I don't believe I have either. A friend of mine's husband is really, really into it. So I will ask her about if she's into it also, or because I know she's talked about her husband being like, oh my God, we had to go to this place because it had bone marrow.
Escargot for $6. Are you into the snails?
I had them at Sterling Brunch once. They were okay.
The description of these is that they are in a puff pastry, and I will eat like fried dog poop in a puff pastry. So I might even try this.
I would try it.
And then there are a couple tarts.
I think they're usually doused in butter.
Oh, well, there you go. You can't go wrong with that. There are a couple tarts. The tart flambé, which is caramelized onions, cheese, and bacon for $5.
Yes.
And then there's another one that is a couple different kinds of cheese with pine nuts and apples.
Yes.
$4. And then, as if that's not enough, drink specials. The cocktail special is bartender's choice, which I like.
I like that.
Let the bartenders do their thing. Mm-hmm. Let them figure it out. $5. They also have four different craft beers for $5 each. And I think wine was $8 a glass. So good happy hour specials happening every single day of the week, which I also approve of.
Yeah, none of this Sunday to Thursday bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, you tell them. 5 to 7 p.m., Michael Mina's Bardot Brasserie at Aria. If anyone tries this,
I have limited time. I am there on limited days. I want my shit to be open.
You got
7 days a week so that I have choices.
This is something I do care about. If you have a review of this, if you have tried, I think it just opened about 2 weeks ago. If you have tried or once you do try the happy hour at Bardot Brasserie, or even if you just eat there and don't have the happy hour, let us know how it is. We'd love some reviews. Anytime there are new restaurants, shows, whatever, we like hearing your reviews.
I'm particularly intrigued by this one. I'm not sure why. The food just sounds really good. Well, Michael Mina has a good track record.
That's why. Michael Mina does good work and Cheap food.
Yep.
Cheap good food. This is a good thing. I'm excited about it. Some other restaurant news across the street, back across the street, kind of, at Bally's. Mm-hmm. They have a couple restaurants there that are closing tomorrow. Sidewalk Cafe and the Tequila Bar. Sidewalk Cafe is their, I think it's 24-hour. Yeah. They're around the clock, or if not around the clock, most of the time, coffee shop cafe. And we've been there a few times.
Ugh.
It's not very good.
No.
It's about as mediocre as you can get for a casino coffee shop, which is why we don't talk about it much. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Not a factor anymore.
Well, now you can't anymore.
Since it's closing. So. Next door to that is Tequila Bar. The thing that Tequila Bar has going for it, good happy hour specials. Mm-hmm. You can get some cheap booze, some cheap food there. Unfortunately, that is going away as well. The rumor, unfortunately, is that it's being these two spaces are being replaced by a Buca
Seriously.
De Beppo, which already has a location at Excalibur. We discussed that when it opened about 4 years ago.
Again. Why fuck with Lancelotta Pasta?
You're still bitter about the loss of Lancelotta Pasta.
And also a little bitter about Pasta Pirate, although I've heard that they're...
Good reviews
yeah,
for the Noodle House.
At least they're replacing it with something decent.
That's at California downtown. The cleverly named Pasta Pirate closed, and now there's a new Noodle House opening, and it's been getting very good reviews. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm okay with that. I just like the idea of a restaurant called Pasta Pirate. We never actually went there. Buca is rumored to be going into Bally's. So if you like large helpings, family style helpings of really, really, really bland, mediocre Italian food, this is the place to go.
Here are my thoughts on Buca.
Somebody's going to, what's the countdown to somebody posting a discussion?
If Buca is the hill you want to die on, go right the fuck ahead.
I love Buca. It's the greatest. No,
here's
it's not good Italian food.
All
it's
right.
Lots of Italian food. It's
Take
not good Italian food.
A frozen lasagna out of your freezer. Obviously, that's where it would be frozen, unless you live here, in which case you can do it outside. But anyway, pop it in the microphone.
Microphone?
Microwave. God. Okay. Take your frozen lasagna, pop it in the microwave, save yourself the effort of putting on pants. You're going to get the same quality of food without pants.
Wow. I like that you're... is this going to be a thing where you have a pants-free alternative to anything we discuss?
No, just mediocre things we discuss.
Forget Diana Ross. Fire up YouTube. Take off your pants. Same deal. This could be a fun trend. All right.
Well, you were discussing...
I'm a fan of the pants-free lifestyle.
I know. You were talking about your pants-free lifestyle earlier. I can't speak today.
And unless I have to leave the house for an extended amount of time, I'm wearing shorts all winter, mm-hmm. and I'm loving it. But okay, that's hilarious. So not a fan of Buca is what you're saying. Minneapolis-based Buca. Still no love for the hometown company?
No.
I know a guy who used to work there who almost went to jail for some accounting issues they had years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
So mediocre food and shady. Great.
They were. They had some issues. Okay. So
maybe. Would you say it's a step below Olive Garden?
Yeah. Yeah. I would. All right. So there you go. Keep an eye out for Buca if you're into shitty Italian food. Mm-hmm. I look forward to the defense of this on our Facebook group later today. I might have some thoughts on our Facebook group shortly. And a new segment. A new segment is debuting on the show this week.
All right.
We didn't even discuss this. I didn't even check to see
if
you're okay with
this. I saw that in the notes. No, I am okay with this.
I think it's a good, I think it's a good segment. But anyway.
It'll be a good refresher for me because I am spending less and less time on Facebook.
We'll get to this shortly. More restaurant news. SLS. This is a follow-up from last week. SLS did indeed announce and subsequently follow through with Griddle Cafe shutting down. It didn't actually shut down. It just seamlessly converted to a new restaurant. Northside Cafe, which is the new cafe at SLS, opened 24 hours a day. I think it's good that they have a 24-hour cafe. They kind of needed one, and Griddle was that, and then it wasn't that. They shrunk down the hours, and now they're bringing back a more traditional cafe concept.
Why didn't they just convert Griddle Cafe to a 24-hour cafe? Were there licensing issues? Or
I'm not exactly sure what all went into this. I think they wanted a more broad menu, and Griddle Cafe largely specialed in breakfast kind of stuff, so maybe they wanted to go a little bit more general. Someone posted on our Facebook group this morning or last night the Northside Cafe breakfast menu, which is fairly small. Mm-hmm. They do still have a couple different kinds of specialty pancakes, like different stuffed pancakes.
How do you feel about stuffed pancakes?
Whatever. If you're into it, fine. I don't need that much sugar first thing in the morning, but
same. Yeah. Unless I'm at DeBars. Oh God.
Or eat. Well, that's standard pancakes. That's about it for the sugar limit for me, but I don't need a bunch of additional stuff on there too.
And the eat pancakes, I can eat them without syrup because they're that, like, they have enough sweetness and flavor that, yeah.
I got you. So relatively small breakfast menu, but typical.
The pancakes at Eat, the restaurant downtown, in case anyone is wondering about the context.
Typical diner breakfast selection, all your basic eggs, bacon, omelets kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Griddle Cafe was one of the few areas of SLS that was busy at least during a good chunk of the day when they were open. So I think some people are confused why that would close. I think that there might have been, I don't want to say a disagreement, but I think maybe the SLS wanted something more out of that in terms of the menu items, and maybe the owners of Griddle didn't necessarily want to change what they do at
more sandwiches and things.
Yeah, that's my hunch based on some of the speculation that I've read. So that's the deal. There has not been any confirmation yet on the other rumors, which include Koo Noodles possibly closing, and also there's been some speculation that Umami Burger might be going away. Hmm. So time will tell whether or not that happens. I suspect if Umami goes away, it will also just kind of seamlessly transition to a more generic burger concept or some sort of generic restaurant concept, because they kind of need that space for their
sports book
and for viewing. So we will see what happens with Umami and Koo Noodles and the other restaurants at SLS. There was also a news story that came out late yesterday that I don't have in my notes, but related to SLS, that there is a pending lawsuit by the estate of Dean Martin.
That's right.
Which is kind of odd. So if you've been in SLS, you've probably noticed a few different locations in the hotel, in the casino. They will have large photo carpeting of different kind of classic Vegas stuff. They've got some James Bond stuff, and at least one of them is an image of Dean Martin. And apparently they put this in without any sort of approval, not realizing that you can't just use somebody's image in a commercial environment without, you know,
getting permission
and okay, some sort of licensing deal. So the Martin family, it sounds like, is going to take legal action over this. So expect to go into SLS and see a large chunk of mismatched carpeting where Dean Martin used to be at some point.
Aww.
I would imagine that's what will happen. I do like that.
I like the carpeting.
But I'm kind of surprised that SLS just did that. I would imagine that whoever owns the James Bond, whichever movie studio owns the James Bond stuff, will probably be next in line.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of screw-ups at SLS, and that is probably part of the reason that it's involved in a long, sad death spiral. We'll be talking a little bit more about SLS and its management and some speculation during the call segment. Finally, this week, I want to talk a little bit about the new marketing campaign from Stratosphere, which debuted recently, and it's kind of interesting. And I pulled the audio from the YouTube video because I think it's worth playing, and then we can talk about it.
Okay. Do you have permission?
This counts as fair use. Yes. And besides, they're getting free advertising out of this, essentially. Yeah. So we'll listen to it and then we'll chat.
You know, somewhere along the way, Las Vegas lost its way.
A bottle of booze became a mortgage payment. A pool chair became a privilege.
The strip filled up with $100 hamburgers.
Buffets that seemed more like ultra lounges.
Paparazzi princesses and DJs who get paid like QBs. Everyone forgot about fun.
Real fun for real people.
Instead, it became a never-ending spray tan poser parade full of socialites, celebutants,
and VIP wannabes.
A mind-boggling,
swirling Category 5 Seamster cyclone.
Raining down fakes and phonies onto a
big, fancy pants party.
A really fun getaway turned into some sort of haughty, gaudy, hoity-toity ego trip.
Hell, even Liberace would be blushing at this hot mess.
Tie time we, the real people.
Take a stand.
It's time to right the ship, to right the strip, and take Vegas back.
So that someday our grandchildren may actually buy a single beer.
For less than the price of a 12-pack.
So that someday Las Vegas can once again be the city
where you forget your life back home.
But always remember who you are.
And
And it starts at a place that is always too tall.
As an epic monument to fun.
A monument to you.
The every man.
And the every woman.
A place that's not for reality show royalty.
Or paparazzi princesses.
It's not about high-priced purses, designer denim, velvet ropes, or pop collars. But is about real fun served straight up
and totally dedicated to the everyman's pursuit of a memorable
and occasionally regrettable
skyscraping good time.
Here's to buckets of beer, rounds of high fives,
and being completely comfortable in your own non-spray tanned skin.
This place is an absolute amen,
a hell yeah, and a yes we can cast in concrete.
A remarkable feat of fungineering smack dab in the funny middle of Las Vegas.
A place that would only be better if it were made entirely out of bacon. And that is a good idea. Somebody should write that down.
Taking Vegas back can only start here at the Stratosphere.
The ultimate Las Vegas landmark.
An epic monument to you. Everything you want
to
do.
And to fun above all else.
So sign the Every Manifesto pledge today.
And help us take Vegas back.
All right.
Two objections.
Yeah, I know. I like
Fungineering and Every Manifesto.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, another comment.
Yes.
Isn't the Stratosphere like the biggest phallic symbol in Vegas?
It is.
Okay.
Every man. If you sign the manifesto thing, what you're pretty much doing is signing up for their email list.
Right.
But what do you think of the concept?
I like it. It's timely. It's, I mean, I have to say, I agree with a lot of it, but at the same time, if I don't want to go to the club, I'm not going to go to the club. So they're not interfering with my good time.
Right. I think it's a good... I think they're hitting a lot of good points. I think it'll resonate with a lot of people.
Yes.
I do think it's a very strong campaign.
However,
I think, and this has been pointed out,
they need to back their shit up with...
Yeah, the two areas that people have kind of called out on this, I think everybody agrees, this is, yes, this is what a lot of us want. Like, a return to Vegas, at least the concept of Vegas, as just a fun place without all the douchery.
Right, without the pretension.
But the one issue, or the two issues, I guess, are, but then if you're going to make it this everyman thing, then quit with the resort fees and quit with the 6-5 blackjack.
Yes.
Give us a good gamble and don't dick us around on your, and the way that you present your hotel fees.
Right.
So I can't argue with that. Now, yeah. Whether or not the majority of people who this campaign is aimed at give a shit about those things or are aware of those things, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But,
what about like food and drink specials, like better happy hour specials?
I think that they've got some pretty good stuff at Stratosphere. Because they are location challenged, I think they have to.
Yeah.
And they are aware that they have to, unlike SLS, that thinks that they can charge Cosmo prices, even though they have the same shitty location as Stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They do have some good happy hours, and they do have some good... I think they have like one of those all-you-can-drink, for a while at least they did, where it's a flat fee for all-you-can-drink for a large chunk of time. I don't know if it's an all-day thing, but...
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you can get some deals there. And obviously, that's one of the points they made in their promo thing, that you shouldn't be paying $18 for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like the idea. I would just be nice if they would say, and here's what we're doing to make sure that you have
that you're getting a good value.
The fun every man experience. Stratosphere, though, I will say, you will get a good room rate there. And their rooms are decent. I think they're fairly recently refurbished. So... we don't spend much time there, but I don't really have anything against it other than the fact that it's in a location that's inconvenient.
Yeah.
And again, it would be nice if they, at least the resort fee thing, I've resigned myself to just as a fact
because
of life.
Everybody else does.
But I would like to see
better pay tables.
Yeah.
Better
gambling odds.
Yeah.
So make that part of the mix and you'll have me. But I think they're smart. I think it's a good campaign.
Yep.
If you are interested in checking it out, TakeVegasBack.com is the website that they've put up for this campaign. Now, 2 years from now, they'll do a Caesars and they'll open some fancy schmancy nightclub and go completely the opposite direction, right? No, I don't think that's going to happen. Alrighty.
Was there a thread on Vegas Tripping about how nightclubs have peaked and they're starting to... Or was it DJs?
You know, there have been a couple things that have come out about that. You might recall we talked about when the last bar... the big bar convention is that John Taffer's organization does. He discussed in a couple different interviews that he sees the nightclub trend peaking and that that's not really the wave. They'll still be around, but that's not where the growth is anymore.
Yeah.
And yes, there was something on Vegas tripping about one of the major DJs. I can't remember which one. DJ Dead Diplo Tiesto Mouse.
Skrillex.
Made a comment pretty much saying, look, this is a similar thing. This is not.
I've made my money and I'm running.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't exactly remember the wording of it, but just saying this isn't a growth industry anymore. So that's interesting hearing from somebody who is that tied to it saying, yeah, the big dollar days are on their way out for DJs. I don't know. We shall see. It's not going, they're not going away, but I suspect we are going to see some of them fail.
Yeah.
Well, we already saw the one Tropicana's failed multiple times and they just gave up, but.
But they failed at a few things.
I can't believe that the one at, well, and the one at Planet Hollywood never reopened. That space is still empty.
Oh, yeah.
They went through their troubles.
That had some legal issues.
I'm surprised that Chateau is still open at Paris.
At Paris, yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like that one.
Because I can see, you know, Hakkasan, Excess, Marquee, Dre's.
Yeah.
I can see those staying around. We'll see how the new one at Caesars does.
Omnia.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. All right. Before we get to our new segment, let's talk about our friends at Viator.
Viator. Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a big event coming up. It's called Mardi Gras. Are you aware of it?
I am.
It's a party time.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans is the place to be. Did I say that correctly, or am I going to get bitch slapped by somebody from there who says, it's New Orleans?
No, you said that correctly.
Okay.
Because if you say it like that and you're not from there, you're putting on an affectation.
Okay.
It's like when people say croissant. No, croissants, fucker. If you're from America, it's croissants. If you're from France.
Say it however you want.
Yeah.
And add that at the end. So yes. Okay. So we'll go with New Orleans and not Nall. they have a lot of cool Mardi Gras stuff. Just the city itself is, you know, it's a party town. It's on our short list that we always discuss of places we never get to that we really want to. They have some
I don't think I want to, I think I'd want to go not during Mardi Gras just to get a feel for the town and then maybe go back for Mardi Gras at some point.
Yeah. Mardi Gras might be a little too crazy, but, even if you
if
don't
I were
go,
in my 20s or 30s, maybe.
Giddy up, then do it. We're too old for that shit.
Yeah.
But there's some cool Mardi Gras themed
stuff. My crowd
stuff.
Tolerance has declined vastly.
You and me both. Even if you're not going during Mardi Gras, there's some Mardi Gras themed stuff since that's the place where it all happens. There's a Mardi Gras themed Segway tour. There's a Mardi Gras world behind the scenes tour, which is cool. You can see you can get a guided tour of the Mardi Gras floats being built and see the costumes and all kinds of crazy stuff that they're putting together for that. In addition to that, just general New Orleans stuff. They've got bike tours, they've got bus tours, sightseeing flights, vampire tours. Isn't there a lot of like voodoo-esque kind of stuff down there?
Oh yeah.
That might be interesting to explore.
Was Interview with the Vampire set there?
Shit if I know.
Maybe that's why.
Airboat rides. I've always kind of wanted to go on an airboat ride. Ever since I was a little kid, what was the TV show that had the airboat in the beginning? Was it Gentle Ben?
I don't know.
I don't know. Airboats kind
describe
of,
airboats to me.
It's the big fan boat.
Oh, the big fan, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool to me. So, I don't know. That might be kind of neat. You go through swamps and shit. I'm in.
Okay.
And, of course, beer and food tours, which we're always into. And for New Orleans, good food city.
Absolutely.
Cool stuff. They also have, this is interesting, for people in the Chicago area who might be interested in New Orleans, you can actually do an overnight train journey from Chicago to New Orleans on a restored, like, classic old Pullman train.
Ooh.
And they've got food and drinks provided. It's a 19-hour thing, and you know it's not like super cheap, but for essentially a almost a 24-hour, it's a 19-hour journey. You get a lot of stuff for your money, so that'd be kind of a cool way to see
if you want to travel by land but you don't want to drive.
Yep
And you don't want to take Greyhound.
You can booze it up the whole time and
nice
see the country.
You can do that on Greyhound too, but I think it's browned upon.
I think Greyhound is probably a little sadder experience than the classic Pullman. You can find out about all these and more at Viator.com. They've got you covered no matter where you're going. Awesome vacation enhancers. Let's call them that. They've got
vacation enhancers.
Yeah, experiences, attractions, tours, all kinds of stuff. 500bymidnight.com, sponsors for many, many years. Click on Viator.com or our link at 500bymidnight.com if you're going to book, go through our little banner thing, and we get extra credit points, and it makes us very happy. So thank you, as always, to Viator for supporting the show. We do appreciate it. And hooray for Mardi Gras.
Yay.
We should have a Mardi Gras parade in our house.
No, we shouldn't.
Can you tell I don't get out much anymore?
Uh-huh.
Suddenly I'm like looking for activities to, although they always involve not leaving the house. Yeah. Okay, new segment on the show this week. We'll see how long this lasts. Mm-hmm. Probably about 3 weeks. But it's something I've been thinking about, and then I was encouraged by one of our longtime listeners, our friend BC, because last week I informally proclaimed something as the Facebook group discussion of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused BC to go back and look at it. He had kind of skimmed over it previously, and mm-hmm. he was glad he did because it was very entertaining and informative and funny. Not informative, but at least entertaining and funny. So every week...
And I don't remember seeing the one that you're about to discuss. Oh. So.
Well, every week, I think, at least until we get sick of doing this...
by we mean you.
Yeah, I'll find a Facebook discussion that is either particularly interesting or informative. It might be maybe somebody will have found a really great discount on something, mm-hmm. or it might just be super amusing and mm-hmm. entertaining. So this week's Facebook group discussion of the week is a January 30th post from Kurt, and it's a photo of the artwork hanging in his room at Flamingo. And you've all seen hotel room artwork. You know, usually it's pretty standard, just some nature shit.
Yeah.
This was essentially just a matted frame with no actual artwork. It was just the brown, the, like brown paper bag backing in it. And
it was abstract.
It was very abstract. And it solicited some very, very entertaining responses, not only about what may have happened with the artwork that may or may not have ever been uh-huh. there, but also suggestions for perhaps ways that he could enhance the frame uh-huh. With, you know, a collage of the porn slapper cards, or perhaps just opening it up and drawing a dick. lots of creative responses on that. So check that out. Like I said, you can go back to January 30th, scroll through and find the picture from Kurt. If you're not on our Facebook group already, it's facebook.com/group/500. There's a link on our website, or you can just go to Facebook and search for 500 by midnight and you'll find it. 3,000 members strong and growing every day, and frequently entertaining and sometimes frustrating.
Just like the Flintstones kids. Strong and growing.
10 million strong and growing. Mm-hmm. That's true. When did we have to start putting fucking vitamins in gummy form, by the way? What's that all about?
I don't know.
Really? You can't get your kids to take a vitamin without making it into fucking candy?
Spoiled you can't little. Get a lot of adults to take vitamins without turning them into candy. There are a lot of gummy adult vitamins out of there, too.
I understand. I don't take any vitamins, but if I did, I would. I want the biggest fucking horse pill you can give me. I want to feel like I'm taking some drugs. Anyway, so the Facebook group has been thoroughly entertaining and amusing and informative, as always, despite a few minor frustrations on occasion. And if you catch me in a bad day when I'm moderating the Facebook group, mm-hmm. as there was one this week where I was a little cranky, I'm like, Jesus Christ, quit posting yet another. It wasn't even, I'm not even going to mention the subject matter because uh-huh. it doesn't matter. I think, see, there's the part that gets lost. I said, the next person who posts a discussion about this particular topic gets banned. It wasn't the particular topic that was a problem.
No.
There's already fucking 6 discussions about it. We don't need to start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So please, if you're gonna be on the Facebook group, which we love that you participate, before you post something, scan through the last couple days and see if there's already a discussion, and use mm-hmm. the comment section rather than starting a new thing. I end up deleting a lot of duplicate topics. That's the other thing. If you find that, like, what happened to the thing I posted? It means somebody else already posted it and mm-hmm. I deleted it. Or
especially if it's the same link to something.
The Delta Pilot thing got posted like 4 times. Ooh. I deleted all those except for the first one. A Delta Pilot got locked out of the cockpit on the way to Vegas from Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm surly. I'm sorry I'm a dick about it sometimes, guys, but gets a little annoying.
But you're trying to make it user-friendly.
That's just
it. You're trying to keep it...
Part of it is the problem. Part of the problem is it's very limited as far as a forum. Yeah. So I get that it's kind of a pain in the ass. There's no way to really... You can pin stuff to the top, but mm-hmm. that's annoying too if stuff is pinned for too long. I don't like to do right. that for more than a few days if there's something of, you know, of especially noteworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then sometimes there's stuff that just has nothing to do with, like, the podcast or Vegas.
Yeah.
If it's like kind of like drinking stuff, I'll usually leave off. Somebody's
right,
like,
right. But sometimes things are more appropriate for people's personal pages.
Yeah. And also, if they're when things, I might as well say, here's all the shit that I'm going to delete.
Oh, don't fucking post shit about kids.
Well, that's already, that's in the,
that's a guideline. If you look through the guidelines and see something, don't post the stuff that's in the guidelines. Damn it.
Which is timely. I think we have a phone call about that subject. Yeah. And then, there's some people
we have reasons.
There's some people who like to turn absolutely any discussion into some sort of a debate about religion or politics. Oh, no, this is not the place for that either.
This is an escape from that because we get too much of that on the news at family gatherings. Thankfully, not our family gatherings, but just in general. And I really would like to keep things
trying to make
an
it a
escape
fun
from that.
Vegas-y place. Keep it light, people. Yeah. We don't need to have fucking political debates on our Facebook group.
Hell no.
All right. So that's our little rant.
That is something that's more appropriate for your personal page.
I hope everybody is enjoying our fun new segment, the Facebook group discussion of the week, and other things and related things that bother us. Oh, I love it. We're such assholes. Okay. Let's get to some phone calls from some people who are not assholes, as far as we know. Let's start off with James B.
Hey, Michelle 500. This is James B. calling from New Mexico. This is the first time I've actually left a voicemail, so here it goes. Last week I was in Vegas for the AVN Adult Entertainment Expo, and there were titties everywhere. To say
right.
There was an amazing time, lots of photos, lots of autographs. We actually stayed at SLS for the first night. Amazing room. Really crappy view of the stratosphere and really, really crappy Wi-Fi service. Nothing to write home about, but the bed was comfortable. We did try Tom's Urban on our second night there in New York, and pretty delicious. Not the best food in the world, but it was definitely worth it not having to traipse along the Vegas Strip looking for a place to sit and eat. I did want to take the time to thank you for all the years of doing the podcast. I've been a fan and I've never left a voicemail before. So I just wanted to thank you for all the hard work that you do. And you have truly made me a Vegas aficionado as well. And thank you so much for what you do. Bye.
Oh, thank you for the call. We'll hear more from him shortly as well. He's the gentleman responsible for last week's
Facebook
kind of inaugural. The inaugural Facebook discussion of the week. Mm-hmm. And he'll discuss that in his call later, but we appreciate that. Tom's Urban is a new restaurant. I don't think we've talked about it.
I'm mildly curious about that. I think Scott had a post about some of their drinks that look interesting. I think it might be a good, I don't know if it's an go out of your way place, but I think it's one of those, if you're there and you need a certain food option, it could really fit the bill.
Yeah, that's one of the newer restaurants as part of the redevelopment at New York and Monte Carlo. I'm not sure. So when I was...
The next time we go, should we just drink our way through all the new places at New York and Monte Carlo?
All right. They're brand...
Like we do through the entire town.
I'm not sure if the New York part of it is part of this, but at Monte Carlo, the whole... The redeveloped part in front.
The boardwalk part?
Yeah, they're calling that like the Boulevard Promenade or something. Okay. I'm not sure if that continues on.
Did you prance when you were walking down it?
I skipped.
Okay.
I prefer skipping. It's a fun way to go through Las Vegas. You don't see a lot of skipping anymore. Kids skip? And why did they in the first place?
I don't know. I remember skipping as a youth.
I know. It was a thing. We were pretty stupid as kids, weren't we? There was nothing going on in the 70s. Except for Diana Ross hits. All right. Next caller, longtime friend of the show.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. Love you guys.
Love you,
haven't
too.
Haven't talked to you in a while. It's your pal, Big Hoss. Just calling to say that I appreciate Chuck and all the VT editor guys giving me all those trippies last week. And I don't know. I was listening to that the next day, and I kind of thought maybe there was a chance that wasn't me calling in, but mainly because whoever was calling in was talking faster than I normally do. So anyway, I do enjoy brunch. I like going to brunch in an Escalade. But I was a little confused why I wouldn't if they were going to go ahead and give me some trippies, well, I wouldn't get any in the craps category. Best craps, worst craps, the craps in a casino. I've done both. Anyhow, I'll talk to you later. Have a great time. Bye.
Are we the de facto call-in line for other podcasts that don't have call-in lines?
I don't know.
Because we didn't even discuss. That was part of the editor's.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the editor stuff.
That was part of the editor's awards that Big Hoss was awarded.
He was awarded many things.
Yeah, I know. It was quite the surprise. That
He's the source of a lot of good stories, though.
Yes, he's an amusing fellow. Thank you, sir, for calling in. Congratulations on all of your victories.
Mm-hmm.
And many more, I'm sure. All right. Next caller, por favor.
Hello, podcasting. It's Tim and Michelle. This is Eric from Charlottesville, Virginia. Calling in with just a couple thoughts on my most recent trip, which ended yesterday. Just a quickie three-nighter staying at the Flamingo. A couple thoughts on the Flamingo. Obviously, the old Dirty Bird has seen better days. I think it clearly, as you've talked about, occupies the bottom spot in Caesar's hierarchy now that Imperial Palace has been cleaned up. Having said that, I found the Flamingo totally adequate for my needs. I was comped into a Fab luxury, which is their lower class of rooms, but with a strip view. I chose to upgrade at check-in for $30 a night to a Go luxury because those rooms are just so much nicer. The view can't be beat, especially from the rooms in the Go Tower, and the location is perfect. I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan, so I eat at Margaritaville and enjoy every second of it. I did also eat at the food court one morning. I got just a breakfast sandwich from one of the places in there, and I'm still alive, and it's been a couple days, so I think that's okay. And as you might remember, a couple years ago, I got food poisoning at the Bellagio, so there's no guarantees anywhere. But the Flamingo.
That's right. Remember, Eric had the hotel room review of the hospital.
Yes, that was hilarious. Sad that it happened.
Oh, that was hilarious. And Eric got sick and had to go to the hospital, ruined his trip.
But I like how he turned it into
yes, me too.
Something. He made comedy out of it.
I think we know. Well, I'm glad that the Flamingo food court was
kind to your digestive system.
Flamingo bums me out because we stayed there so many times and really liked it.
And it just seems like it's gone downhill.
Just freaking maintain it a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's a great location. It's got a lot going for it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to.
And another thing I like about, one of the few things I like about Flamingo anymore is even if you have a room that doesn't face the strip, it's still a pretty good view because you've got the.
Yeah, the gardens
and the pool.
Those are nice views too. Absolutely.
A lot of properties don't have that.
That's true.
Casino always has a lot of energy. Anytime, day or night, there are people in there. It doesn't seem to get that midday lull that some casinos on the strip get.
That's true.
They were in process of swapping out the carpet while I was there, so there was a lot of moving tables around and moving machines around and stuff, but the new carpet looks pretty cool too.
Yeah, they were maintaining something.
Yeah, they were doing that when I was there. They had right in front, like that whole stretch where you can walk through from Cromwell to almost to the Link.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front there, they had removed all the machines and were putting new carpeting in. And it's casino carpeting. It was very loud and crazy. But I will say this, when you walk through a casino that has new carpeting,
mm-hmm.
you just want to walk back and forth. It is so comfortable, just nice and padded. And because mm-hmm. that stuff gets beaten down and it's like walking on concrete, not on the new carpeting in Flamingo.
Huh.
So if you need a little foot massage, don't take your shoes off because that's gross, but
yes,
walk through and enjoy the cushioning of the new Flamingo casino carpeting. I approve.
I spent a lot of time, especially because I was right next door at the Link on this trip. I really like it. I really like what Caesars has done there. I think it was the right move to make, and it seems to be fairly successful. There seem to always be people around, so I think it was a good move for them. I spent a lot of time in O'Shea's on this trip playing video poker. One of the things I realized that I like is playing video poker when there's a live band playing. I used to love that at Book and Stage. I've done that a few times at the casinos in Tunica. And so this time I played in O'Shea's a lot where there was a band playing. I also played at the Extra Lounge at Planet Hollywood that had a live band. That was pretty cool, and I played a little bit at the Le Cabaret Bar at Paris that had live music, too. So that's just a nice touch to have something going on.
I like that as well.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of that, and There are still a few places, but we could use
fewer
more.
Fewer and fewer, yeah.
They've got the sad little casino cover band at Downtown Grand now. But again, it's live music. There's at least something going on. It's moderately interesting and a little bit better than the shitty piped-in music that they had there before. So, yeah, I'm on board with live music.
The background. I ate dinner one night at Tilted Kilt at the Link. This is kind of a typical, you know, bar, sort of bar food. I have fish and chips. I've got a good beer selection. Of course, the real attraction there is the view, you know, the skimpily dressed waitresses, which was very nice. I ate dinner one night at Heritage Steak at Mirage, where they dress quite differently, and I'm okay with that. But I had the My Vegas reward for $30 off, so I decided to splurge and eat there. It was excellent. I sat at the bar. I really like the atmosphere there in the Mirage's beautiful atrium, plus it's open to the casino floor, so there's a lot of energy in there. So that was cool. I spent some time at Cosmo. Of course, I posted a picture of the Royal Flush on my first night at Bond, which was awesome. But in general, I just really like Bond as well. It's a great place to play and always a lot of fun there. Great people watching there, too. And I played a little bit at Chandelier now that they've installed video poker on the first floor. I did hang out there a little bit one afternoon. And that was pretty cool. Otherwise, I had breakfast one morning at Peppermill. Good as always. Lots of people have talked about that, so I don't need to go too much into that. I spent a few hours playing slots at Wynn one morning, and I find that Wynn, especially compared to the Caesars properties, has a lot more of the newer slot machines, had the Batman and Robin machines, had the Wonder Woman machines, which are a lot of fun. Caesars doesn't quite seem to have the newest machines when compared to MGM or Wynn.
I agree.
Or Venetian. I didn't get downtown at all on this trip. In fact, this entire trip, I was on the Strip, no further north than Wynn, and no further south than Planet Hollywood and Cosmo. It was really a very center Strip-oriented trip. But I had a great time. As always, I'm grateful to you guys and to the Facebook group for teaching me things. I'd asked on there about the My Vegas comp, if I could use it sitting at the bar here at Steak, and if it was easy enough to do. And absolutely, I got an answer within 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, you can sit at the bar and you can order from the full menu and stuff. So I always like to have that information going in. So that's it. Thanks again for the podcast. Congratulations on your 10-year anniversary and all of your well-earned trippies. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
Great report. Yeah. Lots of good stuff. I don't think I told you when that. Maybe we've discussed this, and I think we experienced it at the Cromwell when you were playing slots.
Mm-hmm.
The Link has the similar cocktail service where one person comes around with the iPad, takes your order, and somebody else brings it.
Uh-huh.
It was very experiencing that at Link. It was very efficient.
Ooh.
It was nice. And the bonus, you always got to love when this happens. We don't do this too often, but I was at Link with two of my brothers, and we had all promptly lost money playing video poker, and then we were just sitting there bullshitting by the video poker machines. Mm-hmm. We probably it wasn't that we were like, let's just sit here and get free drinks,
right?
It was that
we were just having a conversation, didn't want to move on quite yet.
Exactly. So we were just sitting there kind of watching people go by and chatting and all that.
Yeah.
And didn't matter. The cocktail service was fantastic.
Nice.
Probably, you know, every 10 minutes or so we had another drink, and we weren't even playing at that point. They didn't care.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. That said, I lost enough money there to have very much paid for my drinks. Yeah. Alrighty, next caller, please.
What's up, you guys? Hey, it's Scott. I'm 85% intoxicated. Man, so I don't think I've called since your 10 millionth, whatever. What was it again? 10-year? By the way, that was awesome.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
Listening to that show, it occurred to me that there was a lot of you guys even before me. And I just loved hearing the stuff that I hadn't actually heard before.
Thank you.
So thank you for taking the time to do that. Congratulations, all that. So what I'm really calling about is there's a new show at the Venetian called Frank. And it's a...
Frank, the man, the music.
Well, it was free because it was a media thing. But so it's a Frank Sinatra tribute show, which they've somehow finagled into being a full-on show, even though it's kind of like one-fifth of Legends in Concert. And I would say it's of that quality. There's a dude who, I guess, undergoes 2 hours of makeup to look more like Frank Sinatra, but not really like Frank Sinatra. And then he sings with a 32-piece band orchestra thing, which in Vegas is a big deal because apparently the hotels tried to break the musicians union. I think it started with the Jubilees, because with Jubilee they had a full-on band, and now it's like pre-recorded. And I think at the time they pulled the plug, it was because it was really expensive. And so it occurs to me that this Frank show at the Venetian, how the hell are they going to pay for this thing? Because it's 32-ish union musicians and a dude singing. I'm not sure it's a full... I'm not sure I would describe it as a show. It's kind of like a lounge act stretched out to an hour and 45 minutes.
I think the concept is kind of like the Rat Pack is Back, where it's supposed to be like, this is what a Sinatra late night lounge show was like. So a little kind of loose, probably a lot of storytelling and stuff like that too. As far as the orchestra thing too, that was a point I think I had made when they at Venetian did that short-lived Ray Charles tribute. It was a huge, huge cast. They had a gospel choir, and I think they had a full orchestra for that. And I struggled to figure out how they could make enough money to make that show work, and inevitably it ended up closing early. That was for a short run anyway. This is something they're hoping for a longer run, but I don't know. We'll see.
It's talented, but I don't know how you make that into a show. It's not really a show. It's a guy singing Frank Sinatra songs, and it's not dead on, so it's kind of like Frank Sinatra-ish. And then you got the orchestra's good. I don't know if I'd recommend it. Go to Legends in Concert. You get like 4 to 5, you know, talented people who are singing and dancing and all that. Anyway, so and what else? I don't know. Like, it's a 1,700 seat theater. How the hell they can't comp enough to keep those seats full? Can they? I don't know. Anyway, it was good for what it is. You gotta love Sinatra, because it's a lot. It's just Sinatra song after Sinatra song. I heard a lot of people were kind of nodding off because it's a lot of Sinatra. The people who know what Sinatra sang like and looked like are kind of dying off. So I think the Venetian may be making a play for the much older, wealthier audience, but there's like 15 of those left, right? So you got a 1,700 seat theater, a union orchestra, and then you got the 15 VIPs. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Even if it's a good show, it's not a sustainable thing. Anyway, hey, did I mention I love the podcast? Talk to you guys soon. Out.
All right. Thanks for the review. We do appreciate it. So yeah, that's tickets are between $72 and $176.
$176?
Yeah, that's steep for that kind of show. And I didn't realize it was that large of a theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he makes some good points about whether or not they can sustain this sort of show. Regarding the whole thing with the orchestras, he's right. There's not that many shows that have those huge orchestras anymore. It's pretty much this and Showstoppers, which is the new show at Wynn. That was a big...
I'm making jazz hands right now.
Good move. That was the other a big thing with that they were proclaiming it as the return of the big orchestra. Mm-hmm. I think Celine, when she's on, also has a big band. So, but other than that, it's usually either a smaller band or pre-recorded tracks. So I like that. I like there's live music, and I'm a Sinatra fan, and I like this type of show where it's like a tribute and kind of a throwback of this is kind of what it would be like in theory.
Yeah.
But in that size of a venue with that, that ticket price.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
Long term, he's probably right. Probably not going to be around that long.
So will they have a Bob Dylan covering Sinatra show in Vegas sometime? Oh.
Lord help us. No, I don't think so. Yes, new album from Bob Dylan this week of Bob Dylan doing Sinatra covers. Is there a worse idea?
I'm sure I can think of one if I had some time.
Well, the Pat Boone metal album, but that was like...
That was a novelty.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
This is like...
Serious.
Let's find the guy with the worst voice.
To cover...
A guy with a great voice. One of the best voices,
yeah.
I don't get it. Fucking Dylan. I'm not even going to go off on that because I know that'll get a slew of responses of people disagreeing with me. Great songwriter, but... Okay. Moving along.
Tim and Michelle. Adam from Aurora.
Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Was just there 24th through 27th. Was quite disturbed what I saw on the 24th. Not that it was a bad thing because it was dead as hell. Or as you sometimes like say, fuck.
Sometimes we do.
But I found it fascinating on Saturday night that it was empty. And I stayed at Monte Carlo for 3 nights, thanks to my Vegas. And thought it was a good idea to go over to Aria, check things out, and was bombarded by nothing but 12 to 14-year-olds running through the casino. Found that fascinating at 12:30, quarter to 1 at night. Played, loved, sized my pour, had pizza at, what's it called? I'm drunk now because I'm going through Vegas depression, but... 550. Yeah, that's it. Or something like that.
That's
great
it.
Great pizza. It had mushrooms and some weird cheese, but no eggs. anyways, went back to Monte Carlo and saw the most cool thing in the world, being facetious. Nothing like a woman with an infant strapped to her chest playing a slot machine with nothing but cigarette smokers around her.
Mother of the year.
Other than that, trip was good. Heard your undervaluation of the Monte Carlo. I think it's a great place. Disappointed by the cocktail serving there during the day, but other than that, I think it's fantastic, especially that little passageway past the pub and get you the Bellagio fairly quickly. I don't know. Missing it already. Been gone for 24 hours. While I was at McCarran, rebooked another 3 nights.
That's the spirit.
Nice.
I got 2 at the Mirage, 1 at Luxor, base of my Vegas, and I'm going back in April.
Awesome.
Love your podcast. Can't wait to listen to more. And Tim?
Yes?
Can't wait for your book, buddy.
Thank you. It's coming. Aww. I appreciate that. It is coming along nicely.
Oh, yeah. When is that draft ready for me to read?
I've got the first 7 chapters almost ready for you. I have one little piece that I have to rework because I'm not happy with what I did.
Okay.
But first 7 chapters plus the intro plus. So yeah, we got stuff coming soon. I was hoping to have it to you this weekend, but
that's okay.
Friday wasn't the most productive day in the world, so it didn't happen.
Oh.
I should have it polished off tomorrow, I think.
Well, that's back to Adam's call. That's good to hear about Monte Carlo because I feel like the trend has been, oh, these rooms are run down. It's not a great place to stay. So it's good to hear somebody has had a good experience there. And as I said on the Trippies review, I love the location.
Yep.
Especially if you want to go to Aria or Bellagio or New York. It's a really good place to stay.
If you went back like 10 years to when the show started, I would say we probably didn't spend a lot of time on that part of the still center strip, but
South center strip.
Things have shifted a little bit for us. We spend more time at
Aria
because of Cosmo and Aria and even Planet Hollywood. So the Monte Carlo location has become more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely.
The weird thing is that, so we'll go there. We'll go to some of the bars and restaurants. I still don't play there.
No, I haven't really much either. Cause I find the casino kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why
it's uninviting. I'm not sure what it is about it. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know why that is either.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Is it too bright?
I don't know. And, you know, as far as his observation on Aria and a lot of kids, we've experienced that at Aria, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's odd. I don't know why that casino specifically would be like that. But, yeah, it is. Some of it is just, I don't know, odd timing. You can probably get it anywhere. But
yeah.
Okay, a couple more calls.
Maybe there was like a convention or a child convention. A bad parenting convention.
That could be. All right, next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Eric from Charlottesville, Virginia. I have an Ask Tim and Michelle question for you, and this is partially inspired by your trippies wrap up on show 488, where you talked a lot about SLS, and then also talking about how Rio was both the worst off-strip property and what, how nice it would be if somebody pumped some money, bought it from Caesars and pumped some money into it. So a hypothetical question.
Hypothetical.
Let's say Sam Nazarian and SBE had purchased the Rio instead of the Sahara and done the same sort of renovation that they did to the Sahara to the Rio instead. Now, the rooms at Rio probably wouldn't have needed as much work, but bringing in the same restaurants, sort of the L.A. vibe and all that to the Rio, it's still location challenged because it's not on the Strip, but it's location challenged in a different way from how SLS is. So I'm curious as to what you think if a Sam Nazarian Rio would be doing better or worse than the Sam Nazarian SLS, which is now in its death spiral. Curious to hear your thoughts.
That's a really good question.
I like this question a lot, and I've been thinking about this question a lot.
I've been thinking about this question for 2 minutes. So your answer will be more thoughtful than mine, probably.
I see Rio as less location disadvantaged.
I agree.
So that would be a plus.
I think part of it, it's closer, even though SLS is on the Strip, Rio is closer to the Center Strip,
mm-hmm.
and you've got other properties closer to it. I mean, mm-hmm. SLS just has Strat pretty much within walking distance.
Although, you know what, actually, I thought the same. I mapped, I don't know why, because I do stupid stuff when I have time in my hands. The distance to Strat mm-hmm. is the same as the distance to Circus Circus.
Really?
From SLS. Yeah, it's almost the same.
It seems for closer. Walking.
It does. So you've got Circus Circus and Riviera as well, which
are close. But you've got Circus Circus and Riviera where...
Right. I'd say Palms and Gold Coast are more appealing than those, but that's just me. So I would say the location is slightly better, plus it's a much larger property. There's a mm-hmm. lot more you could do with it. That said...
Is the location the only thing that isn't working for SLS?
I don't think SBE is capable of successfully running a Las Vegas resort.
Yeah.
That is my new theory that I'm taking on this. And you look back before SLS, they owned Sahara for a while, and the original plan was to operate Sahara and improve that,
mm-hmm.
and they failed at it, and it closed. They drove it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that they might be very good at what they do in LA and mm-hmm. Miami or wherever else they have stuff. I am starting to think they're just not a good fit for Las Vegas. Hmm. So no, I don't see them having done better with Rio than they are with SLS.
Yeah.
That's my hunch, but who will ever know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm bummed. I want SLS to do quite well, as we've said many times, but I don't think they know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
They're trying stuff, but no. They have not shown me anything either with their management of Sahara or with the new property. They're obviously capable of turning it around and not turning it around. They were capable of revamping it and reopening it. So creating a property.
Yeah.
But as far as actually running it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm seeing anything that leads me to believe they're capable of successfully doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been open that long, so we'll see. I hope they figure it out.
I do too.
I would imagine my hunch at this point is that a couple years from now, someone different will own that and they will buy it at a significant discount. But I don't know. We'll find out.
So Rio, is that kind of a mix? Not kind of. Is Rio a mix of locals and tourists?
I don't know. I don't know who
or
that
does
brings
it
in anymore.
Skew
it once was.
One way or the other.
I'm thinking it's more tourists. I don't think locals are going to Rio.
Because wasn't SLS's thing, we're going to cater more to locals.
Yeah, they're still holding
and
that bullshit line.
They do not have the odds or the prices to really attract the locals.
They're doing
market.
I noticed on their Facebook page, they're doing like some, like certain days, 50% off at certain restaurants and stuff like that. So they're trying to do those kind of things to bring in locals.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't see it being enough to draw them in.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Time will tell. All right. Good question. I like the hypothetical.
Yeah.
At least that specific one. Sometimes hypotheticals are like, nah, this is stupid. But that one, for
that
whatever
one
reason,
really
I thought
good.
That was a good thing to, an interesting thing to ponder. Mm-hmm. Okay, final call of the week.
Hey, Michelle, James D. from New Mexico again. I'd be remiss if I didn't leave a voicemail about the incident that I posted on 500 by Midnight's Facebook group regarding the business cards from the hooker that I received. For anyone who didn't read the post, essentially I was playing at Cosmopolitan with my friend, playing some video slots, and we were approached by a lady of the night.
Horror.
After winning a substantial jackpot, we were celebrating, hooting and hollering, when she came up and asked if we would like to have some fun tonight. Although I love my friend very much so, I really don't want to do anything of that nature with him involved, so I politely declined.
Good enough standards.
Right afterwards, she did hand me a business card that says she was a personal assistant, and she would provide personal assistant services.
Yeah, she will.
Nice.
If you folks want to go to the 500 by Midnight Facebook group to see the photo of the card, it is an amazing card, and at least that was the most interesting thing that has ever happened to me in Las Vegas. So I did want to take the time to thank everyone who commented on the post and to thank Tim and Michelle for weighing in on the post as well, because it was really hilarious.
It was funny.
Thanks so much again, guys. You have a great day.
Thank you for sharing that with the group. It was definitely
a very good discussion.
One of the more memorable things that we've seen on our Facebook group in a long time. So, yeah, James B is a hilarious guy, and he has a lot of I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he has a lot of very amusing stories and things. And he actually, I don't remember if I may have mentioned this when it came out. I don't remember, but he actually compiled a lot of his Vegas experiences into a book that he sells on Amazon called Vegas Vices.
Oh,
yeah. And it's a lot of like the amusing. This hooker story is going to fit right in because I think he's going to do another one.
Good.
But if you're looking for some amusing Vegas stories of some of the I think he talks about he goes to the porn convention every year. And I think he talks about some of that stuff. But if you're looking for some good Vegas stories, look for Vegas Vices on Amazon. And if I haven't mentioned that previously, I apologize. I should have. I read it and I was very amused by it. There's some funny stuff. And he had a nice plug for the podcast in there too, I remember. So, so keep it coming. We love these kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. It's the only in Vegas type stories are
great.
And this is like a prostitute with a really nice business card that says personal assistant. It's fucking gold. I love it. Okay. So before we go, we have a few things we want to talk about. Our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week this week. Last week we had a very, very expensive item. This week I went wildly different direction. I don't know why this item amused me. The self-adhesive mustache set. A set of three fake mustaches for $542. I think somebody might be working on some sort of costume for their child, because there was also a top hat that I suspect was maybe bought by the same people. So for $5, you can get some fake mustaches and good times will be had by all.
Why am I thinking President's Day?
Oh, hey, it very well could be some sort of a costume for a President's Day school,
like
kind of thing.
Abe Lincoln?
I have a feeling you might be very right. Although it wasn't
that would be more of a goatee.
That would
though.
Be more of a goatee, but maybe. I don't know. Anyway, somebody bought them. And
which is one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons, if I haven't mentioned that previously. The choose you.
Oh, the Valentine's Day, yes. President's Day thing? Yeah.
Oh my God, that one's great.
Yes. Thank you to everyone who's been using our Amazon link. We do appreciate it. It's an easy way to support the show. Without spending any additional money, just click on the link before you buy stuff on Amazon. We get a small cut from Amazon. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate it very, very much. Some other people we want to thank this week before we go, some karma donations through our PayPal link. We have a Lost Weekend Super Bowl karma donation from a group of people who, based on what I've been seeing on Facebook, are having a very, very good time.
Oh, good.
They include Walt, Tom, Thomas, Scott, Robin, Robert, Marie, Kurt, Jana, Grace, Edward, Don, Denny, and Cameron.
Thank you
very
much.
Hope
you're having an awesome time.
We appreciate
Sounds
it.
Sounds like it, but I hope you continue to have
and
an awesome time.
They were a little worried because several of the people were coming in from the East Coast around the time of the storm, and
ooh.
I received a note from them that, from Cameron, I believe, that everybody made it. I think
good.
It was from Cameron. No, Scott. Scott's the one who let me know. Everybody made it, so I'm glad to hear everybody was there, and they get together for these trips periodically, and awesome. Great tradition. Another PayPal donation from Ashley and Andy in Allen, Texas. This is in honor of, they have a trip that's happening right now for another couple days. It's for the Super Bowl and Ashley's birthday, both happening today. Happy birthday,
Yay, happy
Ashley.
Happy birthday.
And The best news out of all of this is that Ashley posted a picture of a royal flush in our Facebook group and said that the karma donation paid off. So congratulations.
Oh, congratulations. I'm so glad.
What a wonderful way to spend your birthday with an additional $1,000 in your pocket.
I would agree.
That's awesome.
That's happened to me before.
I know. It's a wonderful thing.
Awesome.
The previously mentioned BC, who is largely responsible for all good things in life, but specifically our new Facebook group segment that we started today in a half-assed fashion with a PayPal
usual
donation.
Usual half-assed fashion.
A PayPal donation saying you really enjoyed the 10-year and trippy recap shows. And this is so kind. He said, we're still in our prime when most people would have jumped the shark. Or most shows.
Thank you.
That's very kind of you. Thank you, BC. We appreciate your longtime support.
Yes.
And finally, Jersey Bill with an early karma donation for a slot tournament happening in March. Oh,
thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Hope you have the success in your slot tournament that I had when I did mine recently and win some money for pounding on a button for 20 minutes or whatever it is. That's the best kind of money when you don't even have to risk your own.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good luck and have a great time. That's going to do it for this week. As always, website can be found at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions. I think we have some Dear Tim and Michelle questions that we should get to sometime in the next few weeks.
Okay.
One of these weeks when we don't have as much news to talk about, I think we'll do that. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And our voicemail line, which we love to hear from you on if you have any reviews or thoughts on Vegas or other stuff you think that we should hear about. 702-866-9494 is the number. That's going to do it for this week. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We will be back soon with another show. And until then, have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.